I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion. Oh, why hello there. Welcome to Trash Opinions, and if you're a returning viewer, welcome back. Today we are going to talk about Survivor Guatemala, one of my favorite old school seasons. It's really underrated, and I have a lot of love for it. It has some fantastic characters and not a lot of bad ones. The bad ones go out pretty early, which is very convenient. My last video was on Palau. If you haven't checked that out, please do. But without further ado, let's get into Guatemala.
Jim. So what is up with your arm? Because you've made a homemade sling over there.
Yeah, first thing out of the chute, when we picked up the boat, I grabbed it with my left arm, and I was under the impression everybody else had a hold of it, and jerked it, and it just tore that bicep muscle.
When did you know? Did you know instantly?
Well, I know when I picked it up. It popped. I heard a pop.
Jim Lynch. Gee, I wonder who's going to be the first boot. Could it be the injured old guy? First boot should be memorable, but Jim Lynch is not. He's going in meh.
We got the most diverse group there. We got a magician's assistant.
Morgan McDevitt. That line from Jamie is the only thing I remember from her, and I just watched the season. Who the hell is Morgan? Meh.
I don't get along with Lydia. We don't fight. I'm cordial with her, but she's just not my cup of tea.
Brianna Varela. I mean, she was there. She disliked Lydia for some reason, and then she was gone. Meh. Brooke Struck. Who? I'm convinced these last three women were just genetically engineered to be the unmemorable early boots. Meh.
State champion tennis player in high school, and now I'm 24 and I'm married. Was dating a lot, and I have a girlfriend, pretty amazing girl, and I see a lot of older women, and that kind of got me in trouble for a while, and so I kind of slowed that down. And
Blake talks about himself all the time.
Blake Towsley. Finally, a character who is okay. Is Golden Boy gonna end up in Golden Boy? Bait Blake is one of the funniest moments of the entire season. He's such a dumb frat boy with barely any social awareness. He's just talking about how big his girlfriend's boobs are and how drunk he got at a party once. It's hilarious.
My girlfriend, she's got double B. She's got big boobs.
Being that Brian's brilliant move to put all the heat onto Blake is the first and only thing I remember about Blake, he barely squeezes in the fun downfall.
He's struggling to get breath, and something's not right. Breathe through your nose. You're
going to
start to cramp up.
Margaret Bobovich. Margaret has a great premiere episode where she very much establishes herself as the mother figure of the tribe. She basically saves all the guys' lives after that grueling 11-mile hike through the jungle. I mean, whose idea was that? I think she could have made a deep run in the game, but she had an unfavorable swap that landed her on the bottom. Her being the recipient of Judd's ADD outburst is for sure memorable, but I will always remember how cute she was in the first episode, so she gets squeezed into cute.
Our tribe is a very religious tribe. We say grace before every meal, we pray before every challenge, we thank Jesus for everything. You know, and I'm not a religious person at all, but I'm not going to object to it. That would be stupid. You'd be stupid to say, like, you know what, guys, I don't want to thank Jesus for this meal, thanks. Because then they'd vote me right out. That's dumb.
Brian Corridan. Brian Corridan is one of the best players to be a pre-merge boot, and it's a shame he never made a return to Survivor. I love how supportive he is of Lydia in the beginning, too. Without him, she would have been an early boot.
I told her, I said, Lydia, it's not looking good for you, because she needs to know.
Speak why you should be here. Doing the people, so we know why you should be here.
Bait Blake is hilarious and his best move all season.
I have a new favorite game out here. It's called Bait Blake.
Like, okay. What is your absolute best drunk story?
Oh, God. My roommate was all gone all summer camping. I thought I'd have a party at my place. We're doing shots. Everybody's getting hammered.
I'm trying to make sure that he tells all his stories around people like Danny and Bobby John so they see what a moron Blake is. This is awesome.
He's a fun narrator, and him talking about his strategy is very fun to listen to. He's kind of like a Richard Hatch meets Rob Cesternino. It's a crime he's never returned. Entertaining.
Golden Boy.
Is that your nickname?
He did give me a nickname.
Golden Boy.
Golden Boy, no matter what, comes out shining. He's the Golden Boy with the golden flag. Ah! And a sparkle in his tooth. Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
Amy O'Hara. Amy's great. It's a shame her content devolves into just, my ankle hurts, but Amy was spitting out gold before that. Her interactions with Gary are always amazing.
You can lie.
I can lie.
But I'll kick your ass afterwards. I'm gonna find you in Michigan. I'll put in Gary Hawkins, 46. It'll come bing, bing, bing. Cell phones, address, maps. I'll call the locals over there. Can you give me the lowdown on Mr. Gary Hawkins, ex-professional football player?
Ex-professional football? Yeah, I wish.
Yeah. If you want, and I found it after, I ain't gonna beat you down.
Her boot is quite sad. I really wish she had made the merge, but it was just not meant to be. She's absolutely hilarious around camp. And may I say, she has a bit of Clay Jordan in her. She for sure belongs in hilarious.
Being a farmer and everything. The last time I hiked 11 miles was, never. But, I took off after him, you know, yeehaw! You know, ready to do this, man.
Brandon Bellinger. Brandon's chill. Underrated confessional giver.
We get to the dock. An old judge jumps out of the boat. He had a premature evacuation.
He's like that guy who's quiet most of the time, but when he actually does say something, it's usually great. Brandon is cool. I like him. I feel like he gets forgotten about in the sea of old school Survivor players, but Brandon is underrated in my opinion. Him, Jamie, and Bobby John having a conversation made me laugh more than it should have because I couldn't understand half of it. That's Southern mumble, I swear. There's not a lot to say about him. He's just a positive addition to any scene he's in. I could have done without his open festering sores though. For sure and entertaining though.
Jamie, why don't you just shut up and go cut a rope or something?
Bobby John Drinkard. I remembered Bobby John being a more dynamic character than he actually was for some reason. Him and Jamie screaming unintelligible nonsense at each other is one of the comedic heights of the entire season. They were like two rival dogs at the dog park. Other than that, Bobby John is just sorta alright. Still his old Alabama caveman self. And him and Stephanie still hate each other. I won't change his placement from last season because it's the exact same showing. Mildly entertaining.
You think you're special, special, you do.
Jamie, still working on the rope.
I got it.
Good work, Jamie.
Y'all want to finish?
It's okay, Jamie.
Let me just untie this one.
Sleep done.
Y'all want to quit?
We're done. The challenge is over. We're not quitting, we're done.
Jamie Newton. Jamie is hilarious. Him trying to save face after his abysmal performance trying to cut the rope with the rock is such a great scene. He's kinda like Rob Z Light, and his rivalry with Bobby John is absolutely amazing, and it's one of my favorite rivalries on the show. I love how much of a psycho he is. I love his reaction to the whole pool party, like he gets mad that they even would think to coexist with the other tribe, almost like a merger or something, and then he becomes that one friend where he insists they leave early because he's not having any of it.
We can go now. We gotta get wood, water, and cook for night.
Yeah,
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for the
talk
with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting
me. Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Jamie's like, hey, guys, are you guys ready? Out of nowhere. He's like, I think we should leave soon. And he's like, no, I kind of want to go now.
You were so shady.
Yeah.
You're like the shadiest person.
Am I being quiet?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
Jamie taunting Bobby John from the sit-out bench is also amazing. His paranoia leading to his vote-off and his exit quote are equally fantastic.
Blindsided. Nice! Now that's how you vote somebody out.
I love that he called the whitest cast in Survivor history the most diverse cast because they have a magician's assistant. It's absolutely iconic in how ludicrous it is. Jamie is for sure and delightfully crazy.
What do you do?
Landscaping business.
All right.
You know, they've asked me what I do, so I told them I was a landscaper. 15 years ago, I was in the NFL for 11 years. My real name's Gary Hogaboom. But I don't think anybody needs to know that, because I'd be voted off immediately.
Gary Hogaboom. Gary Hogaboom? Who's Gary Hogaboom? This is Gary Hawkins. Quarterback? No, he's a landscaper. Dallas Cowboys? What? Never heard of him. Is that like a band or something?
Gary, were you a former NFL quarterback?
Yeah. The whole "I went to Central Michigan but I didn't play" lie may be one of the worst lies ever told on Survivor.
Who do you think I was?
Oh, I thought you played at Central Michigan.
No, I went to Central Michigan, but I didn't play.
No?
Okay, I guess it was the other 6'4" guy who looked exactly like you then. He could have been like, "No, I went to literally any other college. I was a backup and I went undrafted." That would have been way more believable. Gary is such an underrated character. Him saying Stephanie gained weight since coming to the island was so great.
Lydia was very upset because Steph eats a stinking ton. I don't think she's lost weight. She eats so much corn and nuts. It's amazing.
Underrated as a player, too. I really wish he could have returned to try again. It would be hilarious if he still insists his name is Gary Hawkins. No, dude, we all know who you are. We don't care. Nah, I'm a landscaper. What the hell is the NFL? Also, Russell Hance gets all the credit for finding immunity idols without a clue, but my man Gary was doing it first. Glad he cracked up the jury on his way out by jabbing Stephanie. He for sure belongs in entertaining.
It's hard for me.
When I first walked into camp, she's telling me that I have ADD. That's how you approach me. That's what you like to say. She comes to camp. You have ADD. Do you know that? When you first meet somebody, is that something nice to say? Is that a compliment? I have ADD.
The other problem with Judd is he has a problem with recall.
Judd Sargent. Judd is a hilarious and ridiculous human being. I'm a huge fan of So Bad It's Good train wreck content, and Judd epitomizes that. He's just such a doofus and basically Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. He's also not a bad sportsmanship.
And it's not like we're being bad sportsmanships at all. We just go out there and we give it 120 damn percent, man. Whatever it takes, we're giving. That's what I did today, and everybody ate good, so no matter what I do, man, I'm giving it my damn all, man.
Giving it your damn all doesn't mean you're a good sport or a bad sport. There's no equal sign between those two words.
A win's a win, man. If we did good, man, we're going to go out there and go crazy, man. It's like scoring a damn touchdown in a football game. And that gives us more motivation to keep going and going and going, man. Drive it right to them, man. Keep driving it to them. That's what we're doing. I mean, that's not bad sportsmanship. We just keep on driving and driving, man. We'll drive that ball all the way damn downfield until we score a touchdown, man.
Done.
You know what? You probably never played a damn sport in your life anyway, so you don't even know what it's like, man. So, you know, you should just shut up.
I love how insanely defensive Judd gets whenever Jeff Probst asks him pretty basic questions at tribal council.
Not at all. I mean, I was only on my back for like an hour the most. I mean, I got right over it. I puked and I got up and I went and did what I had to do, man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm ready to do a backflip if you want me to. I mean, I feel great.
Wow, I just asked a simple question.
His constant mans, too. Oh, man, so many mans coming from this man. I'm pretty sure anytime Judd talks, it's just this stream of consciousness and he has no idea what words are going to come out next.
He's asked the other team if Judd listens to anybody. Cindy, do I listen to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, Rafe, do I listen to everybody?
He's all over the place and it's fantastic. Him drinking the extra beer and how much he explodes when questioned about it is absolutely hilarious. And the ADD Tribal Council is one of the best Tribal Councils in the history of the show. Him talking over everyone, even Jeff Probst, is that a nice thing to say when you meet someone that you have ADD? It's amazing. He just antagonizes literally everyone, once again, including Jeff Probst. Judd is just so unique in that sense as a Survivor player, and that's why I friggin' love him, man. Drunk Judd is also my favorite Judd.
Giving it one of these, you know.
I'm always throwing the weapon all the time.
No, I got up and I went over there in the ruins somewhere, man.
No, you threw up right next to the wall.
The cigar in his mouth really ties the look together. And then him and Bobby John try to move a giant tree stump. Why is Guatemala so underrated? There is no way in hell Jeff was going to put up with another season of Judd, so it's no wonder why he never returned. Judd strikes me as the type of person who completely lacks an inner dialogue. He just says whatever is on his mind, all the time. but with the grace of a pro wrestling promo from the 80s in the best ways. The man has no tact, and I love it. I have no idea why he tells everyone about the immunity idol clue, but lies about it in the most obvious way by saying it's definitely on the ground. He pukes in the shelter, too. I love trade wrecks. In my opinion, he's one of the worst players that ever make the merge strategically. You could argue he was in the majority alliance for most of the game, but whatever, he's dragged until he gets cut or is a zero-vote GOAT finalist every time. OTT to the core. Favorite.
John.
Thanks, guys. Hope you guys all get bit by a freaking crocodile. Scumbags.
Lost his group. I can't find him. Maybe other monkeys are answering him. Even monkeys get lost in the jungle. That ought to tell you something.
How can I complain about being woken up by howler monkeys in Guatemala? People pay money to do that. They got all this loose skin in their throat and it gets all big, like a bowling ball.
Cindy Hall. How much Cindy knows about howler monkeys is amazing and hilarious. I do not have much to say about Cindy. I'm actually glad she took the car for herself, though. They were going to vote her off regardless, so fuck them. However, the cut from Rafe in a confessional telling her to shut up about the car to Cindy saying, so everyone was excited to hear about the car, is perfect.
You can't read that body language of no one listening when you're talking about the car. You know, it's probably best to stop that talk.
They were excited to hear about the car.
I love it when the editors do stuff like that. Her flexing her car at her vote out was also purely savage, and I'm here for that level of pettiness.
Think about you guys when I see the stars through my sunroof of my new car.
She's a pretty good player who probably wins if she gets to the end, but she's very much the Elizabeth Filarski, the Jen Lyons, cute, unassuming blonde girl who makes it far and wins if she gets to the end archetype. Like, they all feel like they're the same player, basically, and I'm getting kind of tired of it, but I do like Cindy, and I'll throw her in cute.
This morning I got up and I said to myself, you know, forget about all this crap about being down and out. You know, I'm going to be a motivated person today.
Oh, disappear.
Lydia Morales. I love Lydia. We do not allow Lydia slander under this roof. Lydia doing the pancake lives rent-free in my head. Lydia rules. I love her so much, and I love how far she gets on the season despite not being built for Survivor at all. She's like a proto-Susie, just a way better Susie. Lydia is the cool aunt we all wish we had.
Right?
Yeah.
Here we come to save the day. The Knuckle tribe is on their way. Here we come to save the day. And I go cut some fruits for you.
She's totally wonderful the entire time. Most of the scenes with her are super cute. We love Lydia. All the homies love Lydia. She's also the only person of color on the whitest cast ever, which is weird that she's the only one. Maybe Brianna is? I don't know. She's just kind of there in the background. She's not involved in a lot of the story. She's just there being splendid and cute. Rafe getting rid of her at 4 was the worst move of the season, both for Rafe's game and for my enjoyment. She's not even a bad player. How she wiggles out of being a very early boot after Brian informs her that her name's out there actually impressed me. She was on it. She has strategic chops and plays kind of a Sandra game, just Sandra is the only person who can pull off a Sandra game, unfortunately. Adorable woman, absolutely wonderful. I wish all the good things in life happened to Lydia. Love. Going in love. I don't care what anyone says.
Elvis might be the king of rock and roll, but I'm the queen. Woo!
Shut up. Amy's such a control freak. He'll come over and say, Rafe, let's go play Guatemala, which has become his signal for Rafe, I need to talk to you about the game. So I have to play Mancala with him every day. He's like, so you're sticking to the 6, right? Are you going to stick with the 6? You should stick with the 6, right? I'm just worried that everyone's not going to stick with the 6. I'm like, Jamie, I'm sticking with the 6. Like, if you ask me again, I'm going to die. I'm going to throw these pieces of corn at you. You're driving me insane.
Rafe Judkins. I like Rafe, but the way he just gives up his game to Danny frustrates the crap out of me. He had the win. He had it in his hands, and he pisses it away by convincing Stephanie to vote out Lydia. I get that Danny was very ill, and it wasn't shown in the show for some reason, and Rafe didn't think she could last long in an endurance challenge, but I feel like a debilitated Danny is still a much better challenge competitor than fucking Lydia. Most of the time, Rafe is just the guide, trying to make sure everyone is getting along and having a good time. Just everyone around him is nuts. He buddies up with Stephanie pretty much immediately, which is the perfect move and allows him to control the game with a power goat as his number one ally. Rafe is also just adorable in how he wants to be the good person while stabbing everyone in the back. He doesn't need to sacrifice chicken when everyone else does. He makes a big fuss over Stephanie and Cindy not being the type to give rather than receive. And it's honestly hilarious and adorkable. Rafe's great, even though he basically decided to give Danny the game. He's going in entertaining.
It's day 37. You're gonna let a chicken just sit there and let the bugs get it? No way. I'm gonna eat it. I mean, they came, they did their sacrifice, we prayed with them. But, you know, it's hours later. Chicken's still there. I'm eating it.
Stephanie LaGrossa. How often Steph drops the R-bomb, her calling Bobby John gay as an insult, and then being cast as a hero 9 seasons later is pretty ridiculous.
Why would they want to vote me off first? That's retarded.
It annoys me when I watch him win. He cheers like a freaking girl.
He's so gay. He gets so gay.
Man, Stephanie sure is horrible this season. I just can't get over how fucking entitled she is the entire time. She just has this pissy attitude where she just complains non-stop and plays the martyr even though she's picked to go on almost every damn reward and eats more food than literally everyone else. She might have eaten more than Jeff Probst. However, her insisting they eat the sacrificed chicken is the most Stephanie thing ever, and it's hilarious, and her one good moment on the season for me. If she was actually portrayed as an ass, I probably would love how much of an asshole she is, but no, this hero role model to all young women, queen of the lunch table, Stephanie, is extremely unlikable. I'm really glad she ended up as a goat on this season, since last season she was the biggest jury threat in the game, possibly of all time. Just on this season, I feel like the only person she beats here is Judd, and it's very similar to how Spencer's legacy was tarnished many seasons later. She's unbearable and takes up most of the confessionals. All of her confessionals are just her complaining, talking about how hard it is for her, talking about how better and more deserving she is than everyone else, and talking as if this is her adventure. Kind of like Rupert turned to 11. She's just an extremely self-interested person. It's telling in her response to Lydia's final tribal council question, where she literally tells Lydia to her face she's undeserving of being in the final two. Lydia was a swing vote, by the way. Can I also bring out how fucking mean she was to Lydia the entire time? She viewed her as such a lesser being compared to the great Stephanie LaGrossa and her elitist, "You're lucky you're still in the game" confessional legitimately pissed me off.
Well, boo-hoo for Lydia. I'm sick of hearing your crap. You're lucky you're still in the game.
Her loss in the end is well-deserved, and it's a good example of this is how you lose Survivor. She almost always settles for a move that benefits Rafe's game more than hers, and she sets herself up for a can't-win situation, and all because of her own hubris. It's not like she changed from Palau either, just her complaining while losing every immunity challenge seemed more understandable and tolerable than her just bitching for no reason. Steph sucks. I was prepared to put her in annoying, but I feel like she almost ruins the season because she's such a negative presence the entire fucking time, and I honestly couldn't stand her. One of my least favorite three-time players of all time. At the top of fuck you.
I'm a huge Kansas Jayhawk basketball fan, and in the last 4 years, we've gone to Final Four twice and haven't brought back the championship, so I feel like all this pressure on me that I have to go back home, you know, and bring home a championship.
Danny Burtwright. Her confessional about the Kansas Jayhawks always making the Final Four but never taking home the championship is way more endearing than it has any right to be. It's hard not to be biased as a fellow Chiefs fan, but I think Danny is a great winner. Even though the story of the season isn't how Danny won, more how Stephanie lost, watching her quietly slip into the dominant alliance and somehow getting Rafe and Steph to keep her over Lydia is absolutely mind-boggling. I'm not sure if I believe that she purposely hid her strategy from production, but it would make sense, being Stephanie was the golden goose, and I'm pretty sure production would have ate up a win from Steph, so it's pretty valid if it's actually true. Danny having Gary's number from the start was also hilarious, and him doubling down to a very confused Danny is fantastic.
He's a quarterback, you're like a linebacker, come on.
I also kind of love the fact that Danny got to invite over the other tribe to a pool party for her birthday. It's super chill and cool that production let her do that.
Hi! It's my birthday, so we figured we'd invite y'all over for a pool party.
I really just wanted to have a party. I mean, we've been over 17 days now, and I'm always big on birthday parties, so we had to do something.
I feel like there should be more turning the game off bits like that. I love that she points out how negative Bobby John and Stephanie are in her confessionals too. Danny just seems like a cool person, to be completely honest. It makes it really easy to root for her. I also relate to her caring more about how her dogs are doing than how her family is doing. I wouldn't call her an all-time great character, but as far as winners go, she's in the Jenna Maraska category for me. Go Chiefs. Good player. Guatemala is such a fun season, and if you haven't checked it out, please do. It's an underrated season, and it took them 15 years to finally produce a returnee from this season when Danny came back for Winners at War, which is a shame because there are a lot of great old-school Survivor players and some fantastic characters on this season. I really wish Guatemala got more love. So this is the end of the video. If you made it this far, thank you so much. You are amazing, and I love you so much. Next time we are going to be looking at one of my all-time favorite seasons. It's so good. I love Panama so, so much. It's, oh my god, you have no idea how much I adore the merge. The entire back half of Panama is just absolute gold. It's so good. Anyway, thank you for watching.
You think you're special, you do.